From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, August 16th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and a heck of a nice guy. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Come on, sing it loud, sing it proud. And now to the official start to today's blogcast.
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. When a person wants to believe something, it doesn't take much to convince them. No, that's true. Try to remember that this election year.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
That's big.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. Do you feel threatened? Yeah, I didn't think so. All right. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1916, the Migratory Bird Treaty between Canada and the United States was signed. Basically, we just agreed not to shoot down any of their birds as long as they don't shoot down any of ours. Hmm. Seems fair enough. And it was on this day in 1960, Cyprus gained its independence from the United Kingdom. And to this day, it's hard to tell who gained more from that. The UK or Cyprus?
Get used to disappointment.
These silly polls are being taken on a daily basis, or so it seems. So I no sooner tell you about a poll, and then a few hours later, what I just told you is obsolete. Well, that's a chance you have to take. But I'm taking pleasure in at least pointing this out, that according to a new Fox News poll, here again, consider the source, Donald Trump maintains his lead over Kamala Harris. Now, you go to the mainstream media outlets, and they will tell you something else. They'll tell you that Kamala is leading. Now, the poll found Donald Trump leading 49% to 48%. This even out of Fox News. So, you know, one percentage point. I find it hard to believe, but that's just because I understand where Trump is coming from. I understand what his platform is. And if this man is really going to win in November, he's got to stop trash talking and start talking the actual issues that affect all of us. Now, the way Breitbart reported it, they said a new Fox News poll shows former President Trump in the lead against Democrat Vice President Kamala Harris by 1 point in the 2024 matchup. Surveying 1,105 registered voters. See, that's a small sample. It really is. And when you take only 1,105 people, you have to think, well, okay, what parts of the country did these 1,105 people come from? I find it very hard to believe that 1,105 people would reflect the entire country. That's not the way these things work. But it did say, surveying 1,105 registered voters between August 9th through 12th with a sampling error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. The poll showed Trump ahead of Harris by 1 point, 50% to 49%. She also trailed him by 1 point last month, 49% to 48%. Now, I find this hard to believe. When you have stories come out, big stories about a candidate like Kamala Harris plagiarizing Donald Trump's idea about the dropping the tax on tips, for instance. I mean, she's proving herself to be a fraud, and yet she still shows to be this strong against Donald Trump. You know, I understand that a huge percentage of America's voters are complete brain dead morons, but not in these numbers. So then Breitbart said the news gets even better for Trump when you look at voters who have an unfavorable view of both. Trump leads Kamala Harris by 15%. Among those voters. So now we're getting down to the real story behind the story. Let's go back to Fox News. This is how they reported it. By one percentage point, more Democrats back Harris at 94% than Republicans support Trump at 93%, which is an interesting angle to look at here, right? And while the small subgroup of independents goes for him by 8 points. Now, Trump retains 95% of his 2020 backers, which is good. That's an important statistic right there. And Harris carries 93% of 2020 Biden supporters, while new voters, those who haven't voted in the four most recent general elections, split 49% each. Last month, new voters preferred Trump over Biden by 7 points. The new survey also shows that those living in union households favor Harris by 10 points, while voters have served in the military prefer Trump by 22 points. No surprise there. I used to live in the Rust Belt. And you've got Democrats, you got people voting Democrat up there only because their parents did it, their grandparents did it, their great-grandparents did it. You know, and that's the worst reason in the world to vote. Just to vote the way your parents did. So, Fox concluded their report by saying the Biden-Trump double haters, those with unfavorable views of both, favor Harris by 41 points, but the small, by 41 points, I just find that so hard to believe. But the small group of Harris-Trump double haters prefer Trump by 15 points. See, I mean, what a lopsided view there. 41 points on the one side, 15 on the other. And again, these are just polls. Think back to how many times you voted and what the polls were saying just prior to your vote. And then the results the following morning. Well, isn't this interesting? The European Commission has denied involvement with its internal market regulator's decision to send a warning letter to Elon Musk. Told you about that yesterday. And they're trying to wash their hands of this. Now, here's how it all went down. On Monday, Thierry Breton, the EU Commissioner for the Internal Market, sent a letter to Musk and ex-CEO Lina Yaccarino concerning the Trump broadcast, which took place that evening. And Breton wrote in a post accompanying the letter on X, "With great audience comes greater responsibility." See, somebody over there in Europe decided it's time to lecture the Americans. That's how I took it anyhow. That's how I am. I'm prone to that sort of thing, okay? That great continent of Europe that brought you World War I and World War II trying to lecture us on what's right, you know, basically. But anyhow, in the letter it said, "As there is a risk of amplification of potentially harmful content in connection with events with major audience around the world, I sent this letter to Elon Musk." And let me see here. I got to gather my notes and get this organized. Okay, so it says here, "The timing and the wording of the letter were neither coordinated nor agreed with the president nor with the other commissioners." Because we're talking about the EU, the European Union. It's kind of like a United States, only much smaller. And oddly enough, not even as well organized as our country. Let's see here. Let me backtrack. Oh, let me just read from the beginning of that paragraph again. "The timing and the wording of the letter were neither coordinated nor agreed with the president nor with the other commissioners," EU Deputy Chief Spokesperson Arianna Podesta said in a press briefing Tuesday. Podesta said that the letter from Breton was general in nature and referenced the Digital Services Act, also known as the DSA, which has specific rules for large online platforms. Let me see. She added, "I believe the letter, I have it here in front of me, it was really of a general nature, and the reference at the top to the interview was an example of a large event that, of course, attracts a lot of media users and can potentially have important spillovers in the EU." Well, in the letter, Breton told Musk that regulations under the DSA apply without exceptions or discrimination to the moderation of the whole user community and content of X, including And they put this in parentheses, including yourself as a user with over 190 million followers, which is accessible to EU users and should be fulfilled in line with the risk-based approach of the DSA, which requires greater due diligence in case of a foreseeable increase of the risk profile. I know it's kind of hard to grab that. Basically, what they're doing here is they're saying, we think you should censor your material to our standards because we don't feel like doing it. You know, I may have embellished that a little bit, but that's really the gist of the thing. The European Commission has been investigating X ever since last year over alleged non-compliance with the DSA. Well, let the DSA do the censorship. You know, I don't see how that's Musk's problem. Now, X has a section that enables an individual or an entity to notify it about content that's illegal under EU law or under the national law of an EU member state in compliance with European Union law. Because, yeah, I mean, they probably have the power over there, and I mean from a technical standpoint, to totally block X, formerly known as Twitter, in the EU. Now, the DSA started applying to all online platforms in the EU in February. And at the time, Breton said that he encouraged all member states to make the most out of our new rule book. He said, effective enforcement is key to protect our citizens from illegal content and to uphold their rights. See, so the censorship is alive and well over in Europe. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they are just mentally, they're in a situation where they can't handle truth. They trust their superiors, or in some cases, their elected officials, to make that determination for the citizenry. We'll tell you what is and isn't true, which is why I bristle so much when somebody like Karine Jean-Pierre stands there behind that stupid podium in the West Wing and starts talking about misinformation. Wait a minute. Who is this individual or this panel of individuals who are going to determine for me what is and isn't misinformation? And the best way that they can enforce that policing of misinformation is through censorship. Well, censorship is against the law, according to the First Amendment. Now, there are certain situations in private surroundings where censorship can legally be carried out. But those are very rare situations. So the legislation's aimed at creating a safer digital space where the fundamental rights of users are protected with specific rules for very large online platforms and search engines. So in other words, censorship is alive and well in the EU. But don't think there aren't any critics, because there are. You've got the think tank MCC Brussels. And they've got concerns that the law enables Brussels to dictate what can or cannot be said online, with huge fines for social media companies if they fail to comply. Now, in a wider report on the subject published in May, MCC Brussels said that the EU uses a system that integrates EU institutions, NGOs, you know, non-government organizations, and big tech into one unholy alliance of unaccountable regulators of speech. So along comes Jacob Reynolds, the head of the policy, or head of policy for MCC Brussels, and he said that while the commission seems to be distancing itself from Breton, the DSA is still an EU flagship law. He said it seems that what they want to distance themselves from the letter is because they don't like the kind of fury that's kicked up, and maybe the letter's kind of Breton slightly overstepping. Well, apparently Breton is overstepping. But he added, but they have initiated a procedure against Musk that's very much under the purview of the European Commission. And he said that as much as there might be a kind of attempted distance on the surface, it's very much the case that there is a war on free speech, and an empire of censorship that's official EU policy. One person is fighting against this, and he was on with Maria Bartiromo the other day, is a former British Prime Minister, Nigel Farage. And he is very vocal about this censorship business over there in the EU. I would continue to if you can, if you have the time to do it, kind of try to keep up with Nigel Farage. This, I sometimes get the feeling he's the only individual in all of Europe who has any concerns whatsoever about censorship. But, you know, he's a very persuasive person because he was, after all, the leader of Brexit. A lot of ado has been made of Judge Juan Merchan and the corruption involving his daughter, who's a big Democrat fundraiser. And earlier this week, Judge Merchan waved off a recusal request for the third time in the Trump hush money case. And it turns out that Merchan's daughter's platform raked in tens of millions of dollars thanks to her dad's case against Trump. Yeah, nothing shady going on there, is there? Meanwhile, Andrew McCarthy, former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, made a curious prediction on Wednesday. He's saying that Judge Merchan might just toss Trump in jail on his September 18th court date. Let's go to a note that I have here from Gateway Pundit. They wrote, earlier this week, crooked New York judge Juan Merchan rejected a recusal request for the third time in Trump's hush money case. The dirty judge's decision was released to the public on Wednesday. Judge Merchan's daughter's platform made tens of millions of dollars from her father's case against Trump. President Trump is still under a partial gag order in the case. Can someone please explain how this is legal? And why are Republicans not outraged by this criminal lawfare against the party's presidential candidate? In May, Trump was convicted on all 34 felony counts after he was accused of paying porn star Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, hush payments through his then attorney, Michael Cohen, in a scheme to silence her and stop the story about their alleged affair from being published in the National Enquirer. Now, let me interject something here. None of that is illegal. It would have been illegal if Trump had used campaign funds to do it, but he didn't. He had plenty of his own money. Then Gateway Pundit continued, for some reason, Trump was charged 34 times for the accounting errors. The misdemeanors were changed to felonies in order to stick it to the former president. The far-left kangaroo court swiftly found him guilty of fake crimes. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg alleged Trump committed fraud because the payment was labeled legal fees. This was complete nonsense. No one has ever in history been indicted or convicted for such bogus charges. But we're talking about the cesspool New York, and we're talking the communist left. Yeah, very true. Then they went on to say that Andrew McCarthy, a former assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, predicted on Wednesday that crooked Judge Merchan will jail Trump on his court date on September 18th. That's only 2 days after early voting begins in Pennsylvania. All right, so let's toss around a possibility here, and that would be in the reaction of the public. If Judge Merchan does indeed jail Donald Trump, will he be bailed out? How many millions and millions and millions of dollars will be extorted from the Trump fortune to release him? Now, okay, it's fun to consider that. You gotta wonder. No matter how much the judge would place on the importance of keeping Trump in jail, in other words, how much money, how high a bond is the judge willing to set on Donald Trump to keep him behind bars? No matter what amount he sets, Trump will be able to spring himself because he's a very wealthy man. And a man doesn't become a man like Donald Trump by being an idiot. But just the same, the left is determined to do something about Donald Trump to keep him from taking the White House. And they attempted to do something back on July 13th, as you recall. I think the left was behind this. I think there are a lot of truths we will never know about that incident. This kid Crooks and his attempt to kill Trump. Was he acting alone? Yeah, he could be. In all probability, he was acting alone. But I'm not willing to discount the possibility, maybe even a probability, that someone in the deep state was behind this. I mean, if our own government could have killed JFK, and the more information, I mean, they're still learning stuff about the JFK assassination all these years later. What is this, 55 years later? No, 61 years later. Jeez, 61 years it's been. Oh, my God. Yeah, in November, it'll be 61 years. And we're still learning things about that assassination. And the more we learn, the more it seems to point to the CIA, someone in intelligence, someone within the United States government. And I find that even more shocking than had it been a mob killing or the KGB. It's easier to accept that. It's not so easy to accept that it was your own government that took out this man, whether you agreed with Kennedy or not. He was turning out to be a pretty good president. People who didn't vote for him were starting to like the guy. He also held some interesting press conferences. I would get home from school and see him on TV, and he was really good at handling the media. He wasn't the greatest public speaker in the world, but it was his policies and the way he handled crises like the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. So, I mean, it's pretty clear the left wants to be rid of Donald Trump, and they'll do it whatever means possible. I mean, if they have to kill him, they'll kill him. If they can lock him up for life, they'll do that. But this whole idea of jailing him on September 18th is stupid. It would be an incredibly stupid move on the part of Judge Mershon. Because he's just a damn judge. Really, he's nobody. He's a judge. And he's got a daughter who's out there raising money on the judge's actions as it regards Donald Trump. But is anybody thinking about what the reaction will be if Trump is jailed on September 18th? How will the right react? I'm not asking how will the GOP react. I'm asking how will the right react? I mean, will we have another incident like January 6th? I mean, it's possible. It's entirely possible. I mean, if these people on the left are still insistent on holding January 6th, 2021, as a date that will live in infamy, then maybe they might want to have a little closed-door meeting with Judge Mershon and prod him, if assuming he has any intentions of jailing Trump, maybe prod him to drop that idea altogether. Because this could turn out to be a very volatile situation. But then again, you could take that volatile situation and you could turn it into, you know, here again, when life gives you lemons. They say make lemonade. Not me. I just eat my lemons. But this could turn out to be a very interesting situation in a positive sense. And okay, you're going to lock up Donald Trump, then we'll run J.D. Vance for president. No, think about the possibility that J.D. Vance would crucify Kamala Harris in any debate on any platform. That would be so interesting. Anyhow, back on Wednesday, both Trump and Vance shed more light on their plans for remedying the affordability crisis that they say is plaguing America. Of course, they say it because that's exactly what's happening. The affordability crisis is probably at its highest point since the days of Jimmy Carter. So at a rally in Asheville, North Carolina, Trump announced a specific goal. He pledged that if he wins re-election, energy costs will be reduced by at least 50% within the first 12 to 18 months of his new term. That sounds a little big to me. I mean, sounds like an exaggeration. 50%, at least 50%. I mean, if you can do it, man, do it. I would love it. But he said, my administration will issue rapid approvals for new energy infrastructure, unlock cooling, energy independence, and energy dominance. And then he also promised, he says, and we'll quote him here, on my first day back in the Oval Office, I will sign an executive order directing every cabinet secretary and agency head to use every tool and authority at their disposal to defeat inflation and to bring consumer prices rapidly down. We will target everything from car affordability to housing affordability to insurance costs to supply chain issues to the price of prescription drugs. So, and he added that that he expects the cabinet to produce results within the first 100 days of his new administration. That is a mighty tall order. I mean, you know, I keep saying Donald Trump didn't get to become the kind of man he is by being an idiot. But, I don't know. Just the same, I'm going to vote for him. So as a result, many Americans are becoming paupers in their own country because of grocery prices. And the latest figures show that inflation remains a problem. Came in at what, 2.9% for the year? And even if it's not going up as fast as it was 3 years ago, you know, the inflation is still continuing. It's just increasing at a lower rate, okay? So anyhow, as a result, many Americans are becoming paupers in their own country. And this was Vance talking about that. He says, if we don't do better, our younger generation, they're not going to own anything. They're going to be renters in the country that their parents and grandparents built. So you've got Trump and Vance both emphasizing the importance of drilling for oil and natural gas. And I mean, you don't need to be an economics major to understand that the reason prices for everything have shot up is because on day one, Joe Biden, when he sat down behind the Resolute desk, he started undoing everything that Trump accomplished, starting with energy policy. And that's why we are where we are right now. To get us into the weekend, let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Colin Chamberlain.
It's so hard to do things. It's hard to do anything. It's hard to eat well. Do you know how hard it is to be healthy? We have 17 types of water. Water! We have too many choices. Sparkling, mineral, tap, glacier. I'm okay. Is shower available? Do you have that type? Because that's where I'm getting most of my water. Like this. That's where I'm... The majority of the water that I'm getting is me just going, I'm good. Like, that's... It's so hard. It's hard to do anything. All the food is bad. Don't try to eat anything. Whatever diet you're on, it's not right. I'm telling you right now. There's nothing you can do. McDonald's is actively trying to kill us. Every single time they come out with a new item. Recently, they had a secret menu. They go, oh, this is McDonald's secret menu. And they had, this is 100% true, they had something called the Land, Air, and Sea, which was a fish sandwich, a chicken sandwich, and a burger on one bun. Wouldn't it just be easier if they followed you home and killed you? You know, wouldn't that just save everybody some time? You know, they just give you the bag and one run right, just take them out. It's crazy. What is the toy in the Happy Meal? A defibrillator? You're gonna need it. That's nothing works. You can't eat anything. That's why the only time people lose weight is when they're sick. That's the only thing you could do, is just be so ill you can't eat. That's the only way you're going to lose weight. You look at a friend, you go, you look amazing. What happened? They're like, I had the flu for 2 weeks. I was on death's door. I'm like, wow, are you still contagious? Because I have a wedding, and I have been snacking a lot. So tough. I've been trying. I try hard to eat well, but I don't succeed. The other day, all I had for lunch was a turkey sandwich, and I thought I was going to pass out. I was starving, and well, I didn't have a turkey sandwich. I had a turkey sandwich, chips cookie, and then another turkey sandwich because I was so hungry. But the intention was there. And I eat the turkey sandwich, and I'm talking to my friend, and I go, yeah, I had a turkey sandwich for lunch. And he goes, wow, turkey sandwich, what is it, like your cheat day or something? Excuse me? What did you say? My cheat day? I'll kill you. I will. I am miserable. I am so hungry and miserable that I will take the cellophane from the sandwich and kill you with it, and then I'll eat you. That's what I'm going to do.
Have an awesome weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?